Amritatma Muni Santo, Amritatma Muni satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. Therefore, it is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord and not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within his mind with the chanting of mantra given by the spiritual master. The worship of the form must be present. The impersonalist takes unnecessary trouble to meditate upon or worship some impersonal. The path is very precarious. We are not advised to follow the impersonal way of meditating on or worshiping the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to worship a form made of earth and water simply because in the jungle, if it is not possible to have a form made of metal, wood, or stone, the best process is to take earth mixed with water and make a form of the Lord and worship Him. The devotee should not be anxious about cooking food, whatever is available in the forest or in the city. Among the fruit and vegetable groups should be offered to the deity, and the devotee should be satisfied eating that. He should not be anxious to have very palatable dishes. Of course, wherever it is possible, one should offer the deities the best foodstuffs, prepared within the category of fruits and vegetables, cooked or uncooked. The important factor is that the devotee should be regulated. That is one of the good qualifications of a devotee. He should not hanker to satisfy the tongue with a particular kind of foodstuff. He should be satisfied to eat whatever prasad is available to grace from the Lord. Translation: it's possible to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood, and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship Him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. So here continues a further description of the worship of the deity, which was described a little in the previous verse about offering water and other things. So this verse describes the how to make the form of the Lord. So it specifically says dravya mayim archam, a form of the Lord made out of some dravya, some material elements. And then it says earth, water, etc. And one should worship that form. So, Of course, deities can come in various forms. That's also explained elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One may have clay deities, or wood deities, or metal deities, stone deities, jewel deities, or monastic deity even. As well, the Lord can be worshipped in the different elements, such as earth and water and air and ether, etc. So there's also ways of worshipping the Lord in the different elements themselves. So here the archa form, actual form of the Lord made out of different elements is described. And we'll see that Dhruva actually made a clay model of the Lord and began worshipping that in the forest because he had nothing else. So there are particular rules attached to making a form. We cannot make any form. The form has to be according to scripture. So the scripture gives descriptions of the various forms of the Lord. Of course, it also gives descriptions of forms of devatas. But here, Dhruva is advised to worship Vishnu or Narayana. So Narayana has a specific form, and we cannot imagine our own form. So it has to go according to the scripture. And then we have the secondary scriptures, that is, Stapati scriptures, etc., which deal with the details of how to make these different forms and the composition of the forms, the proportions, etc. So all the details are given quite elaborately in these works. So we don't have to speculate on what the Lord looks like. It's all determined by the scriptures. So one can use those different materials. So therefore we do see wood deities and such as Jagannath. And most popular one is the stone deity because it is quite permanent and steady. And the other form, of course, is the metal deity, usually a combination of different metals, eight metals in certain proportions. It's also popular because it's long-lasting. However, of course, it's not as long-lasting as stone in some sense because it corrodes and whatever. So we see that this is often used for the portable deities, the movable deities, and the big deities made out of stone. So that's those are the popular forms. The clay or earth forms are not so popular as permanent deities because they're not long-lasting. They may crack and dissolve and whatever. So they're not advised for permanent worship in temples. They are often used for temporary worship. And we see during festivals they make clay models of different deities, etc. So those deities are usually used for temporary worship only. And of course one may have lac deities or even paint, out of paint. So pictures also can be taken as deities and worshipped. And of course we have the deity in the mind, the monastic deity also. So these deities are to be worshipped, so they have to be made according to the proper process, usually. And then they have, in Pancharatra scriptures, they should also be installed. This is called pratishta, pratishta karma. So they should be installed properly to begin the worship. Some deities, of course, are not installed. Those are the Shalagram Shilas. The Lord is already there, so there's no need to call the Lord into those deities. However, the other forms are not the deity until the Lord has been established in the deity through the Pratishta ceremony. So when the Lord is established in the deity, then one begins the worship after that point. So that is why the Pratishta Karma or installation of the deity is performed. And then one begins the worship. Of course, even if one does the pratishtha, if there's no devotion, then we cannot say the Lord is there anyway. So the devotion is the important element. Anyway, these are the rules of Pancharatra. They have certain rules for establishing the worship. And after one installs the deity, then there are rules for worship. So we cannot concoct how to worship the Lord. There are certain guidelines to be followed, certain things to be offered, certain purity of the body to be observed, etc. So there's all sorts of rules for worshipping the deity. So this can become a little bit complicated. Therefore, it is advised that one has to take diksha and learn in detail all the different things. And of course, to offer to the deity, one needs the mantra. So one needs a diksha mantra for offering the items to the deity. So in this way, the worship of deities can become quite complex. We see in the case of Dhruva that he was a small child, and obviously his worship was much simpler than that performed in temples. Nevertheless, we also have to understand that Dhruva was very accomplished, because he was able to see the Lord in several months, and he had great determination. He did have very great devotion in all of the activities he did regarding the worship. So it was quite effective. So the rules concerning the deity forms and the materials and the worship of the deity are all there to help regulate a person so that he doesn't speculate, and he controls his senses properly and concentrates on the Supreme Lord. That is the purpose of all the rules. So they are sort of regulation of the devotion or the bhakti. They're a way in which the bhakti can be expressed in a proper mode so that the bhakti can grow. However, we see that here the worship of the deity is not alone. One must also have the mantra, and we see that in the case of Dhruva, Narada Muni also recommended yoga to follow up this process of pranayama, etc., and then jhana. So we have deity worship along with yoga here, and later we'll see also other aspects of bhakti are mentioned. So if we actually skip out the first part, the yoga part, and we just take the part on deity worship and after, then we'll see it is quite similar to what Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Devotion, the process of bhakti with the different angas, etc., including meditating on the form and the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So this is the regular process of bhakti. So here we find an additional element of the yoga process as well. It also says here in this verse, this is Narada Muni speaking, that one has to have control of the mind, and one has to control words, and one has to control the tongue and what one eats. So along with the process of deity worship, one does have to follow some standards of sense control. Now, sense control in itself is not bhakti, because maya bodies can also control the senses, or atheists control their senses also. So sense control in itself is not bhakti. It doesn't produce bhakti. But it is also favorable to bhakti, because if we don't control our senses at all, then it's very unlikely that we can concentrate at all upon the Supreme Lord. So we do have to have some minimum standard of regulation of the senses and the mind and the words and the tongue, etc. That is why we do have rules like the four regulative principles. Even though in themselves they don't create bhakti, nevertheless they're important, because otherwise the mind becomes too distracted and we'll never concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So we do have the secondary rules as well, control. But the primary place is always given to the devotion. And therefore, in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that cultivating good qualities, renunciation and detachment, these are not angas of bhakti. And rather, they can actually create obstacles for bhakti. So, therefore, one cannot become too absorbed in the secondary processes at the expense of the devotional processes. One has to balance quite nicely the two things. Rupa Goswami remarks that this is, if we concentrate upon the renunciation, etc., then the heart becomes dried up. And in the process of bhakti, the heart is supposed to do the opposite, melt. So instead of melting, it dries up. So if we concentrate on the secondary items, such as renunciation, then instead of creating bhakti, the bhakti disappears. So therefore, we have to watch that balance very carefully. So the same applies to deity worship. If it's too many rules and we concentrate too much on the rules, then there is a danger that the bhakti itself may also begin to disappear. So we have to balance in deity worship. We have to see that the rules are there, but the devotional aspect is always prominent. So, in other words, the different rules and regulations are there to help guide the devotion. But if the devotion isn't there, there's a problem. So we have to be careful that the devotional element is strong. And then the rules support that, and they guide and support and nourish the devotion. So the main object here, of course, is the form of the Lord. Now in meditation there's a form of the Lord, and we use the mind to think of the Lord and serve the Lord. So in deity worship we also have the external form. So that is useful for engaging our senses. So we engage the eye in seeing that form. We don't have to speculate with the mind, we can see the form. And then we can utilize the whole body to offer things to the Lord and serve the Lord in different ways. Just as in the spiritual world, everyone serves the Lord somehow or other by some service. So, similarly, one can also, with the material body, serve the Lord. So the problem comes in how to serve the Lord with the material body. Since the Lord is spiritual, because the Lord has entered into this form at installation, it becomes spiritual. So how is it possible for someone with a material body to serve that Lord? In other words, we cannot go to the spiritual world with a material body and serve the Lord. So how do we expect to serve the Lord with a material body even in the material world? It's also contradictory. So, for that purpose, there are various rules and regulations within deity worship to spiritualize the body also. Of course, we know that by chanting the name of the Lord, everything is spiritualized. So, similarly, in the process of deity worship, there are different methods of spiritualization of the material body and the subtle body. So, if those are followed, then one is supposed to have a spiritualized body, then one can perform the service. To make the matter simpler, if we use the chanting of the name of the Lord as part of the deity worship process, this can simplify the whole process of spiritualizing the body, because by chanting the holy name, automatically everything is spiritualized. So this simplifies the process somewhat. Nevertheless, there are procedures for purification to help us get rid of our material tendencies. Since we're in the stage of sadhana bhakti, we still have anartas. To minimize the anartas and help us concentrate on the Lord in devotion, there are these different procedures of spiritualizing the gross and subtle bodies. So there are certain techniques for doing that in deity worship. So they are useful to help the devotee concentrate upon his service to the Lord in the spiritual body. So this way, though the Lord is made out of material elements like earth and water and metal and wood, etc., and the devotee also has a body made out of blood and bones and skin, etc., somehow, even though he is in the material world with the material body, he can still serve the Lord through a process of spiritualization. The Lord is spiritualized through the installation ceremony, and the body of the devotee is spiritualized through the process of bhakti and the process of archana, different purification, spiritualized processes in the archana process. So, in spite of the fact that it looks material, there are processes of spiritualization of everything. So we should not take the superficial view and think everything is material, as many people do. They'll say that the deities are material. No. By certain processes, everything becomes spiritualized. Well, that's a rather general statement. Of course, there are this recommended in general that one worships the deity. But it is one of the angas, and we see that different personalities did one anga and attained perfection, Parikshit by hearing, and Sukadev by kirtan, etc. So by one anga alone, without doing deity worship, they attain perfection. So it is possible. Because people are in the material world and have uncontrolled minds, it's recommended that they engage the senses through deity worship. But it is not an absolute necessity. In fact, the main element in worship is kirtan. That is the yuga dharma. So we can do the kirtan without the deity worship. It is also possible, as we see in the case of Haridas Thakur. And he never had a deity or anything. So it is possible also to do without the actual deity. But it is recommended in most cases.
You mentioned that time when the devotee's body was spiritualized. The devotee's body was spiritualized, and then he worshiped the Lord. And this is mentioned by taking Diksha, one can once by the word from the deity. But without taking Diksha, then he can chant and worship. But chanting makes the body spiritualized.
Yeah, well, if we follow Pancharatra, then we have to use the mantras, and the mantras are given at Diksha. We don't want to follow Pancharatra, we can do anything we want. But we follow Pancharatra, so we should follow that rule. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have a deity at all. He simply chanted. So of course that's what Lord Swami Chaitanya says, all perfection is achieved simply by chanting the name. So that's what Haridas Thakur did. But as I said, the Rupa Goswami usually recommends the process of deity worship also, along with that. And we see the example of the other Goswamis, like Rupa Goswami had deities, and Gopabhatta had deities, etc. So they did have deities also, in spite of the fact that chanting was the main process.
Thank you. Awesome.